Ils arrivent, ils arrivent. Nos travaux, on ne pouvait pas travailler sur Benjamin, la radio et l'enfance ici à Portbou sans évidemment parler de Benjamin et Portbou. Bruno Kezan, qui est à côté de moi, philosophe, qui a longtemps enseigné dans les écoles d'architecture, organise depuis le début des années 2000 ici à Portbou des rendez-vous réguliers pour discuter donc art, architecture et philosophie. Et nous avons demandé à Bruno de peut-être faire le point sur, non pas uniquement le passage et le décès de Benjamin à Portbou, mais peut-être la relation, plus riche qu'on ne le pense, de Benjamin à Portbou. Mais avant de te donner la parole, Bruno, je voudrais vous présenter cet ouvrage qui s'appelle « L'architecture inquiétée par l'œuvre d'art ». Mémorial Walter Benjamin de Danny Caravan à Portbou, sous la direction de Bruno Kezan. Bruno, avec tout un ensemble de complices, ont fait une recherche à partir du monument de Caravan, qui est à la fois l'objet et le prétexte pour s'interroger sur les rapports entre l'art et l'architecture, et bien entendu cette situation incroyable qui est Portbou. Donc je fais circuler l'ouvrage, je vais le laisser là-bas, mais merci Bruno. Et oui, alors, et j'ai pas précisé, donc à la fin de ton intervention, on te suit pour monter voir le monument de Caravan, et on fermera la salle, donc si des gens veulent laisser des choses dedans, elle sera fermée à clé, quoi.
Bruno. Ok. Well, I'm going to try to give my talk in English. Responding to the suggestion by Giuseppe Gavazza, remarking that here in Catalonia, speaking about a German philosopher, French, Slovenian, German, we are speaking only in French for this morning. I know that some people are preparing to express themselves in English in the afternoon or tomorrow. As my English is so basic and simple and unsophisticated, that I'm sure that the French would follow my talk. It's a kind also, I guess, a kind of politeness towards our guests from Slovenia, from Central Europe, you know, who not necessarily have a good knowledge of French. So my question was the possibility, eventual possibility, that Walter Benjamin came to Portbou before the last time he visited Portbou on that night of end of September 1940, when he took his life. And that was his last visit to Portbou. Why I was asking me this possibility is because that route, the railway's track, passing along the Mediterranean coast from France to Spain, was one of the two main routes connecting Northern Europe with Southern Europe. The other passing along the Atlantic coast on the other side of the Pyrenean Mountains, you know, on the western side. And as we know that he came three times to Spain, The first time it was in 1924. I have no rich information about the way he came, so except that I know that he embarked on a ship in the Hamburg port, and he came to southern Spain, where he visited Cordoba, Sevilla, and Barcelona. And after Barcelona, he went to Italy. So I guess that maybe he joined Napoli by train. But we have no information about that. And probably he took another ship to reach Napoli, and from Napoli went to Genova and Livorno. So we don't know if during his first visit to Spain he passed by Porvoo. We have more precise information about his second visit to Spain. It was during the springtime and early summer of 1932, when he was invited by friends to stay with them in the island of Ibiza that we can reach from Barcelona. So how, one more time, did he come to Barcelona? He took in Hamburg a ship, a cargo, the 7th of April, and he arrived in Barcelona the 18th of April. So 11 days of travel. So from Hamburg, we can see the route around France, Spain, Portugal, and finally Barcelona. So obviously he didn't pass by Porvoo in this first travel. And from Barcelona, the 19th of April, so he stayed only one day in Barcelona, he took another ship, the Ciudad de Valencia, to the port of Ibiza. And he left Ibiza the 17th of July, 32. But in the meantime, in his sojourn in Ibiza with friends, Ibiza was the island in which was beginning this kind of trend from by artists, intellectual, to use this island apart from the developed world, I would say, as a sojourn in which you can freely think, act, write, in the case of Benjamin. And he fell in love with an artist, Olga Parem, who was a mix of Russian, German, I don't know exactly. And so he had a love affair during these weeks, which ended very badly because suddenly he proposed Olga to marry her. And she was so shocked and afraid that she cut the relationship with Benjamin. So I suppose that Benjamin was not very easy doing in love, like he was not an easy doing in life in general, you know. And he left, donc, the 17th of July. He left Ibiza for Barcelona. And from Barcelona, he joined a friend, a German writer, whose name is Wilhelm Speyer, who had a villa in the Italian coast in the little village of Poveramo near Pisa. How did he reach this place? So once again, he could have done by train along the coast or by boat, because in that time, traveling by boat was very common, you know. We forgot these days with the plane, etc., that traveling, crossing the Atlantic, most of the people, they were going to New York by boat. Now, it's unbelievable, you know. So, probably, I had some information, but I am not an expert, that he landed in Marina di Massa after a step in Nice. And in November, so he stayed with his friends in Poveramo till November 32, where they came back to Germany by car. Wilhelm Speyer had a car and they drove from Italy to Germany, which was a big trip at that moment. So in that first visit to Ibiza, his first visit to Barcelona, there is little chance that he came to Porbu. In the 17th of March 1933, he left Berlin for Paris. That was the moment of the access to power of the Nazi. In Paris, he took a room, he rented a room at the Hotel Istria, Rue Campagne Première. Istria, it's interesting because Istria, for our friends from this region, is this peninsula which was debated from Italy and Croatie. J'entends pas.
C'est la Slovénie actuelle.
Ah, Slovénie actuelle. No, but at that moment, you know, it was part of the Habsburg. No, because the Habsburg was no more in rule at that time. So it was maybe Yugoslavia, if Yugoslavia was already founded at that moment. And so Istria was really what the main goal of the Mussolini's, the Italian fascists, to expand their territory, their empire. And Istria was considered as a part of Italy. You have a famous painting by De Chirico in which Istria, the map of Istria, is presented as part of Italy. So, Hotel Istria in Paris. And this time, we know that the 5th of April 1933, he left Paris for Barcelona by train. It's sure. So he was going to join the Sales family, the friends with which he was thinking to translate some of his work in French. He was speaking a very good French, but he preferred to translate with a real French speaker. So he passed, not only passed by Porbu, but you know that the spanning of the rails in between France and Spain is different. In Spain, the spanning of the two railways is 1 meter, 666 millimeters. Now in France, it's 1 meter, 435 millimeters. So you are, when you travel from France to Spain, you have to change of train, because at that period there was not a kind of elastic capacities of the bogey, of the wheels of the train, to expand their dimension according to the different widths of the railway track. So people, they were forced to disembark from the train and to re-embark in another train. So for the people, but also for the goods, you know, all the trains carrying the production of the north to south, or the reciprocal movement from south to north. And that's why in a little town come as Porbou, nowadays less than 2,000 inhabitants, something like 150, 500, you have such a big railway station, you know. Not only the building of the station, but also all these tracks, you know, because you have all this traffic and the transfer of not so much of people maintenant, but still of products of goods from one train to the other. So we are sure that at least he walked onto the platform of the Porbou station, and from Porbou he went to Barcelona. Barcelona, we know that he left on the 11th of April, and he arrived in Ibiza at 5:45 the next morning with the Ciudad de Malaga. He left in September. In the meantime, he fell in love with another artist. This time, I guess she was from Holland, Dutchland. Ten Kate. I don't know if I have the good pronunciation. And also, that was a summer flirt, which ended also badly. And then he decided to leave and to come back to Paris. And what is incredible is that he left Ibiza the 26th of September 1933. C'est-à-dire quite precisely the day in which he took his life in 1940. Because usually we say he died the 26th of September, but we don't know, not sure if it's the night in between the 25th and 26th, or 26th, 27th. So it's around that day. And it is precisely the day he visited Porbou for the last time, because he went back to Paris by train. So one more time, he took the train in Barcelona, at the station which leads to France, and in Porbou he was forced to change of train. So one more time, he walked on the platform of the Porbou railway station. Obviously, he didn't know that he would come back on September 1940. And probably he didn't have the time to go to the railway station to visit this station, because with some people with him, they were crossing illegally the border by the mountains, by a little track, difficult to recognize today, And with my friends Pascal and Nicolas, we walked along the border on the ridge of the mountain to try to find the right way that he took in that last crossing to Port-Bou. Because the official road is called the Chemin de Walter Benjamin today, to me, can't be the way he took at that time, because the route is very much, too much difficult to follow. It's not a direct way from Banyuls to here, but you have to climb a mountain, you have to go down and to go up and to go east, to go west. So it's very much for people being there for the first time in their life with the Gestapo following them very closely, not very able to manage in that difficult condition. Let's imagine the little Walter with his little wallet and urban shoes and his three-piece dress, you know. No, come on. Even if we know it was very difficult, because we have the recessions, the story of that passage by Lisa Fitko, the young German woman who organized this passage of the exiled people fleeing France to Spain. The passage of Benjamin was the first that she organized. So she didn't know very well at that moment this mountain. Even if the mayor of Banyuls, Dr. Azema, had drawn a little sketch of the route, but you know by your own experience when you are traveling, crossing the mountains, if you try to explain to a friend, all right, you take after the first big tree, you go to the left, and then you see a cross on top of that mountain. And Lisa Fitko said, well, but there were crosses on top of every mountain around us. Which one to select to orient? I'm sure they took another way than this route. Plus, I was telling the students that this route is called the route Lister. Lister was the general commanding the communist, but Stalinist communist troop of the Republican army, if I could say. And with the communist, anarchist communist of Catalonia from the PUM, Partido Obrero Unificado Marxista. So this PUM and the Stalinist, you know, killed in many conflicts that they have with these local anarchists. To me, it's too painful to think that Benjamin would have put his feet in the steps of this Lister. So also for that reason, I refuse to consider this so-called Walter Benjamin way as this one. So we have to find. Now I'm a bit too old to continue to explore these mountains, because it's not very friendly. The nature, you know, the rock, the land, you know, and so we didn't find a real passage, you know, more simple, more direct, easier to find that Benjamin would have followed in that last visit to Port-Bou. And yes, the fact that the last time he passed freely from south to north, going back from Ibiza to Paris, it was precisely the same day, not the same year, same day of the year, 26th of September, that the day he took his life, and that was the end of this, the last passage, you know. And so if we relate so closely Benjamin and Porbou, obviously it's because of the last moment, and obviously it's because this moment is, I would say, established in our memory and in our contemporary life by the work of Danny Caravan, who made a wonderful memorial, a monument, but a non-monumental monument. Monument an roche was remembering that in Latin, monere means to remember. And a monument is something which makes you remembering something, some event or some person, you know. So this is a real monument, because we are warning that here in Porvoo happens something severe, serious, years ago, the crossing of this border. And for Danny Caravan, the monument in memory of Walter Benjamin was not only devoted to the memory of Benjamin, but devoted to all these people who are crossing illegally the borders. Because we, French or German or whatever, we have the passport. Even with the COVID, we have a permission to cross. But so many people in these days, you know, are crossing illegally, coming from Africa, North Africa, crossing the Gibraltar Strait, escaping the violence of the Spanish people in the south, again, these immigrants, you know, and they arrive here and they are blocked. So they try to cross by the tunnel, you know. They risk to be crushed by trains passing. So it's still, crossing the border is still something tragic, you know. And in both directions, because we have to remember that if Lisa Fitko and et cetera, the organization who was supporting this activity in September 40, and it lasts for 1 year, because after that they were forced to stop. So helping people to come from north to south. But 1 year before, in 39, that was the defeat of the Republican camp in the Civil War, Spanish Civil War. And the last point of resistance was Barcelona. If from Barcelona to escape, the route is Porbou. And so the people from this Republican camp, they carried all what they could to save in their cars. And they arrived by the same road that we use today to the French border. And the French, they stopped them. They say, okay, you can enter in France, but with nothing except what you carry on yourself, your garments, and nothing else. And they were put in camp on the plage, the beach of Argelès, on the sand, with wide around, so a concentration camp, improvised. by the Republican French authorities, because we were in 39. It was not the French state of Pétain collaborating with the Nazi of 1 year after. It was the French democracy which put all these Reds, because they were called Reds, Spanish people, in camp. And nowadays you have in Rivesaltes, which is by Perpignan, where you have the airport of Perpignan, and you have a wide camp of a capacity of something like 15,000 people. And these Spanish families were, I say family, because they had with them a lot of children, but very young children. And now there is a wonderful memorial on that the place of the camp by the architect Rudy Ricciotti, who did an excellent work, very, very simple, very secret, that you can see with some difficulty. You can't see. It's not a monument which imposes itself to the visitor. It's something which is underground, and you have to go down, etc. And there you have the photos of the life of in the camp, and you see all these children. Now I am a grandfather, and I have children of that age, you know, and I imagine those little girls in camp. So it's something really awful. So there was this movement from source to north. And to me, it's one of the key of understanding the Danny Caravan's work. It's the double sens. We know that Benjamin gave the title Sens Unique, I don't know, in German, you know, one-way street in English. One-way street. But in fact, if we are in life, the streets are two ways, you know, the entrance way and the exit way, because we guess that we can exit from the place in which we enter. Obviously, the exit is not always permitted to anybody. We know that, you know, and especially here with all these camp, concentration camp, from which you can, in which you can enter, but from which you can get out, you know. And the monument here of Danny Caravan is precisely playing with this capacity of the architectural space to give these two ways, you know. So, and two ways, it's not only two orientations in space, but the two complementary orientations are generating a different signification. Obviously, when you enter, and here to enter is to go down, so your entire body is invited to behave in such a way that you, okay, I go in, I get in, I get down, and hopefully you can't exit by the bottom of the space, because it's a kind of a cantilevered space over a violent sea, the waves breaking onto the rocks which are precisely there. So you can't escape, you can't get out by the bottom of the organized space. So you turn yourself and you go up. So obviously your body is not in the same condition in going up that he was in descending down. And you have the opening this time. I can escape from this space which is containing is kind of container in which our body is pressed on both sides, or even four sides, because you have the ceiling and you have the ground. And in fact, you will see it's very narrow. In fact, it's convenient for one people. We can use it two by two people, but it's better to be alone in it. And you take the exit on top, and you arrive on top, you join the horizontal domain of the human being. You have a line on the ground which is indicating a way to escape, and it is blocked because you have a little cliff there, and there was a bridge in that cliff, an opening, but the opening has been comment dire, rempli,
full, full, filled.
Filled, we rempli, filled by stones, which are of the same quality of the natural rock all around, but with a kind of artistically or craftily position of the stones. So you understand that it's artificial event in middle of the natural rock. And on the ground, you have a band, a stripe of the same metal of the stairs which we are going down, on the ground, going to that point in which there is no exit, no more possible to exit going up that the same way it was impossible to exit going down. Obviously, symbolically, because actually we can decide to escape the field of attraction of the work of art. Sure, for sure, we are free. But if we enter into the logic of the work, no escape, no way to exit, which was precisely the condition of Benjamin. He crossed in one way. So it's true that it's a one-way street, a one-way oui. You understand me. And what is, I would say, at the same time normal and tragic, is that Danny Caravan himself died a few months ago. He was a kind of a survivor of that story that he told by his work. But finally, he also reached the end, dead end, as we say in English, when you take a way which has no exit, impasse in French, no trespassing, you don't pass. And in English, precisely, an impasse is a dead end, you know, because it's true that death is the final destination, you know, and with no return. There is a film, The River of No Return. No return. And poor Danny Caravan reached that point in which there is no return. And it was very moving for me because I sent our book on his work, and he appreciated very much because I didn't discuss with him, you know, it's a free interpretation of his work. And he said, "Ah, Bruno, it's wonderful. I need 20 copies of your book." Oh, okay. Because you see on the site, you know, how much the thing is for me a machine for emotions and for thinking. It's not only that we are kept into the feeling generated by this organization of the space, but also that make you thinking. And it's such a work that it works not exactly as the artist had thought about it. The work by itself is generating more meaning that the artist involved into the work of art. And he was very proud of that. Some artists, they are complaining when you interpret their work in a different way that they organize intentionally. Danny Caravan, on the contrary, was very happy that the people found in his work feelings and thought that he didn't have thought in advance, like make a project, you know, in advance, we think in advance. And but the work is so rich that obviously it responds to the expectation from the author, but it is delivering, freeing meanings which were not foreseen previously. And to me, that's the evidence. It is a real work of art because it gives more meaning than the meaning which was supposed to give the key to understand the world. And in addition, and I and there my poor talk, that anytime, every time you go back to this thing, I say thing because it's something in between land art, architecture, sculpture. Anytime you go back there, oof, you feel something more or something different than the feelings you felt previously. So it's an endless work, you know. And that's why we gave the title Architecture Inquiété. Inquiété in English, it's worried, but troubled, we'll see. The work, the architecture in trouble, by put in trouble by the work of art. Because obviously the work of art, I would say, is more free than a piece of architecture. The architecture has to respect a program, a function, etc. Here, the command, the demand is very simple. It's just to make you moving, wondering what I am doing there as I am crossing illegally a border. So the content of the program is much more simple than the one that you have in architecture. But nevertheless, or not nevertheless, but because this kind of freedom of the work of art, which is so similar to work of architecture, the work of architecture is put in question, you know, by the example of this space, which is a three-dimensional space. It's nearly a degree, 0 degree of architecture. And the freedom it has is shaking a little bit the work of architecture. And it's good that architecture has to be put in trouble because so many architecture are considering themselves so established, you know, so monumental, but not in the sense of remembering, but of the colossal monument, you know. And that would be better many times that architecture pieces should be more modest, you know. So I could continue, but it's much better to go there on the spot. And I let you going in advance, because if it is the first time, you have to experiment the first time, you know, the first timeness of the first time. And be sure that you won't exhaust the meaning of that. You can go back tomorrow. That would be the second time, but the second time is worth also to go. But don't miss the first. And I gave you, I talk too much, you know. I want you to be really surprised, you know, and to discover at the last moment, as you see, because there is a long way to not to Tipperary, but to and he gave the name of Passages in Catalan to his work, and I know that he disliked the term memorial. Nevertheless, we use it because it's easier. But for him, it it's not a memorial, it's a passage. And it's all about the story of passage, you know, the last one, may all the other that so many people are doing quietly or in great danger. Thank you. And excuse me. Abusivo. Mio inglese is abusivo, as we say in Italian.
Thank you, Bruno, and thank you for the English talk. And now we propose a visit of the work of Danny Caravan. And Bruno joined to us, of course, but feel you free to begin to walk first. It's just here.
No.
What? To suit, we follow Bruno.
I lead for a moment, and after I will let you
go. Yes.
But
okay.
For the moment, no, because I don't want to miss one step going the other way.
Okay.
That I let you discover. I did nothing about this first step.